If you have your Bibles this morning, once again we find ourselves in a message that will dictate multiple passages of Scripture. Would love for you to find, if you would, Matthew chapter 27. That will be where we will start our text, Matthew chapter 27. Also, if you would please, two books over would be the book of Luke. Find, if you would, Luke chapter number 23. And then the very next book is John chapter 18. Matthew, Luke, John, chapter 27, the book of Matthew, chapter 23, the book of Luke, and John, chapter 18. Pastor, why all these passages? Well, because I want you to see the power and the truth of the Word of God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the Gospels. They're called the Synoptic Gospels. These Gospels were penned by man. They were written by God. They were penned by different men with different personalities, with different purposes. However, when you read them as a unit or as a whole, each perspective adds to part to what the Holy Spirit wanted to be communicated. All of the books deal with the life of Jesus Christ while he was on the earth, his death, his burial, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension. Some of them cover different parts of his life. For example, if you want to read the Christmas story or the birth of Christ, you go to the book of Matthew and you go to the book of Luke. Those books deal tremendously with Christ's humanity. John dealt with his deity. If you want to prove to somebody that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you would go to the book of John. That's why it was written. Mark was a young man. Young men are adventurous. I don't know at what age a young man loses his adventures and becomes an old man. I don't know about that. I'm not there yet, thank you, Lord. But somewhere, Mark's a young man, and he writes with a Roman perspective. He writes as Christ, the suffering servant. And so it's a different perspective. But as you read these accounts, you can go to one book, read, go to the other book, and there will be more there, and the richness and the fullness will develop to the Word of God. I want you to see God's Word on paper. At Plantation Baptist Church, we love the Word of God. We preach from the Word of God. We want you to understand that you're not coming to hear Tom's message. Tom cannot help you. But the Word of God is truth. Amen? And so I'll prove that to you in just a few moments. We find ourselves quickly accelerating toward the end of the life of the Lord Jesus on the earth. We find him just moments away from being crucified. Matter of fact, not this Sunday, but next Sunday for the Thanksgiving message, I will deal and will preach about the crucifixion of the Lord. Today's message will bring us right to the point right before he is crucified, and we'll pick up with that next Sunday. I don't know of a more purposeful or greater reason to be thankful than for the crucifixion of the Lord, for the cross of Christ and what it is in our life. We entered chapter 27 last week in verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. At this point, he's been arrested. He's been betrayed. He's been arrested. He's been tried. His verdict has been handed down by the Jewish leadership. They found him worthy of death because they said that he was a blasphemer. And what they were saying was that Jesus claiming to be God was blasphemy or a sin or was not true. The problem is he claimed to be God because he is God. He's always been God. He's God today. He's God forever. And so they trumped up a charge of blasphemy, which was trumped up and not true, and they wanted to apply it to the Lord. When asked to the jury there, what do you think? They said, this man is worthy of death. And so now in chapter 27, verses 1 and 2, they're taking Jesus to where he could be crucified. In verse number 2, it says, and when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to, say that man's name, Pontius Pilate. Now, this message today deals with the moments that Pontius Pilate had with Jesus Christ. I submit to you that the moments that Pontius Pilate had with Jesus Christ were the greatest moments of Pontius Pilate's life. I would also submit to you that his moments are very similar and have tremendous application to the moments of your life. I believe you can see in the correspondence between Pontius Pilate and the Lord Jesus an application of how men and women relate to the Lord today. I beg you to hang with me. Don't lose me in this message. I'm driving somewhere. And really and truthfully, there's not a lot of joy in being in the car for a long time, right? That's why people stop at Yeehaw Junction. Have you ever been to Yeehaw Junction? It's the biggest farce there ever was, is Yeehaw Junction. You remember when the Turnpike had all those billboards for Yeehaw Junction? Finally, they had to have a billboard that said, "You're here." That's how disappointed people were. "I'm going to take you on a journey." Now, the ride's got some things to see, and there's some powerful truths on the ride. But when we get to the destination, things are going to get very personal. So don't lose me. After verse 2, verses 3 to 10, Matthew took a little break, and last week we learned what happened to Judas, who had betrayed the Lord. And I won't rehash that for sake of time. But you really could read verse number 2, and then in context, you would go right down to verse number 11. And the Bible says in verse number 2, they led him, bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Verse number 11. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest," which is a reflection of, "Yes, I'm agreeing with your statement." He's making an affirmation there. "Yes, I am king of the Jews." And when he was accused of the chief priest and elders, he answered nothing. Boy, they were making some heavy accusations. They said that he was perverting the nation. They said that he was not wanting to pay tribute to Caesar. That was how they could get in with Pontius Pilate, because he was with Rome. And so they had to make the charges stick. Then Pilate, verse 13, said unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor did what, class? Marveled. Now, remember, synoptic gospels. Remember, different men penning as the Spirit of God would move in their heart to write the Word of God. Matthew is a numbers guy, and numbers guys are bottom line guys. Matthew was a tax collector. Matthew was a factual kind of guy. He wasn't all about making things fluffy or bringing in the color of a story. He just communicated matter the fact. And so Matthew says, man, he went before Pilate. He didn't open up his mouth. Pilate told him, "Don't you understand what they're saying?" He never said a word. And it was like Pilate was just dumbfounded. He was marveled. That's all Matthew tells you. Go hold your hand, put something in Matthew 27 and go to John chapter 18. And John brings color and life to this meeting, and John lets us see exactly what goes on in this moment with Jesus and with Pontius Pilate. And I'm going to tell you something. There's some powerful truths in this meeting. Verse number 28 of John chapter 18. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. It was early, and they themselves, those Jews, went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "Why did you wake me up?" Is that what your Bible says? No, but in truth, Pilate says, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" Now hold your finger there and look at me just a second. This is the first time Pilate is introduced to Jesus. This is the first time that he meets this man. Maybe he's heard about him. You're going to see in a moment Herod had heard about him. But this is the first time he is introduced to Jesus Christ. Do you remember the first time you were introduced to Jesus? Think about the first time you heard about Jesus Christ. Pilate hears about Jesus the way that most people hear about Jesus, in a very negative way. Pilate is exposed and introduced to Jesus in a demeaning, in a derogatory, in an intrusive way. And so that first impression of Jesus doesn't really sit well with Pilate. And by the way, just let me say this. If anybody ever presents to you Jesus in a negative or way or in a derogatory way, or if you're here today and you've had some introduction to the Lord, but it hasn't been good, understand this. Jesus Christ is good. Okay? And I apologize for that. Sometimes Christians can be idiots. I'll amen that one. Amen. Sometimes we can be idiots. And sometimes we introduce Jesus in a very ugly way to people, in a way that just kind of pushes people away. This is how Jesus got introduced to Pilate. Pick up, if you would, please, in verse number 29 of John 18. Pilate then went out into them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to what class? To death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die." All right. Now, the Jews got a problem, and you got to listen to the story a little bit and think with me. The Jews want to kill Jesus. All right. But it's the Passover time. Their laws prohibit them putting Jesus to death. So they need Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate to the Jews is nothing more than an avenue to kill God. They don't care about Pontius Pilate at all. Pontius knows that these Jews are dishonest. He knows that they're petty. He knows them. He's had relationship with them. However, they need Pontius to kill Jesus and to kill him quickly. Now, the cool thing about this is that it was prophesied in the Bible that Jesus would die by what? Crucifixion. Go back to the Old Testament, and you remember when the Jews wanted to execute capital punishment, how did they kill somebody? They stoned them. Okay? So, they needed Pilate to kill him. God had already prophesied that Jesus would be crucified. So you can see how God is working this out. Had Jesus been stoned, he would not be God. You need to understand. Every word in this Bible is inspired. Every prophecy about Jesus has to be true. It has to unfold. And so if Jesus would have been stoned and not crucified, he would not be God. Therefore, you and I could not be saved, and you and I would be lost forever. Thank you, God, that he was crucified. Amen? All right. So they need him now. Now look at verse number 33. Then Pilate entered the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it to thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the what class? Truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, don't miss this, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him, what are those two words? No fault. Okay, so now think with me, stay with me, ride with me. The Jews need Pilate. They got to have him to kill Jesus. So they've got to introduce Jesus to Pilate. When they introduce Jesus to Pilate, they say, he's a criminal, we need you to kill him. Pilate says, I don't want to be bothered with this. Just take him and judge him according to your own law. No, we need. They trump up some charges. So now Pilate has to interrogate him a little bit. And Pilate, in his interrogation of the Lord, comes to the conclusion that there's no fault in this man. At this moment, I think Pilate thinks Jesus is cuckoo. And by the way, I think the world still thinks that Jesus is cuckoo. They think that we're cuckoo. Some of you are. Okay. So Pilate then, once he hears Jesus talk about my kingdom is not of this world, for this cause came I into the world. What's Jesus telling him? Jesus is telling him, Pilate, I came here to die. I came here to die for your sin, to be buried and to rise again. I came here for this purpose and it's going to work out. And Pilate hears all this kingdom and not of this world. He says, this guy is a cuckoo. But Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. Now listen, in Pilate's mind, he dismisses him as cuckoo and he walks away and he says, what's truth, man? What's truth? What is truth? Let's talk about that in a moment, for just a moment. There's a lot of things in our world that's under attack today. But I do believe that one of the things that is viciously under attack is truth. Believe me when I say there is something called absolute truth. People want to say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Well, that was an absolute truthful statement you just made. Okay? And really and truthfully, a lot of the world, and maybe you even here today, we don't want to deal with truth. And so what we're trying to say now is there's no such thing as truth. Or truth is just whatever you want truth to be. Pilate's like, what is truth, man? Who knows what truth is? Truth is one thing to you, something other here. Truth is relevant here. Truth can be manipulated. There's just no such thing as truth. It's up to you. Everybody has their own truth. And as long as you believe your own truth, you're okay. My friend, that is a damning lie to a person's soul. Now, I want to show you three verses in the Bible that absolutely answer the question, what is truth? Go to John 17:17. We're in the book of John. Just go back a couple of passages, chapters back. What is truth? I will show you what truth is. John 17:17, Jesus answers his own question. He had answered it before he even got to Pilate. Jesus, in a prayer to the Father, says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is what class? Truth. Now, when Jesus says thy word is truth, he's talking about the Bible. Go to John chapter 14, a couple of more passages back to the left. Look, if you would, please. John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. The what? Truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The psalmist said that God is the keeper of truth. Is there something called absolute truth? Yes. Pastor, can truth be different to different people? No. Pastor, does truth belong to individuals? No. Truth is Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus is truth. The Word of God, Jesus is called the Word of God. So Jesus is truth, and the Word of God is truth. Now, question for you. When did truth begin? Truth never began. Truth has always been because Jesus is eternal. Okay, so nobody can say this is where truth began. No, truth has always been in Christ. When the Word of God was written, the Word of God is truth. Truth has no beginning and it has no end. It's not relevant to you. It cannot be twisted. It cannot be manipulated. It cannot be transformed. It belongs to nobody, but truth is Jesus. Now watch this. All truth comes from Jesus. 2 plus 2 equals what, class?
4.
Who made it equal 4? Jesus. Well, Pastor, what about scientific truth? The greatest scientist there ever is Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, what about archaeology? What about astronomy? What about mathematics? Listen, every truth in the world finds its origin in Jesus Christ. So what does the world want to do? The world's like Pilate. The world doesn't want to deal with truth. And so what they've done is they've said there's no such thing as truth, or I have my truth and you have your truth. Impossible. Truth doesn't belong to you or to me. It belongs to Jesus. Well, truth changes. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. And so we have a whole world that hates truth or thinks that there's no such thing as truth. So now every man can do what is right in his own eyes. And you can believe whatever you want to believe just as long as I believe. But my friend, you must believe the truth. So when Pilate said, you're a kook, man. What is truth? There stood truth right in front of him. And God's people said, now go to Luke chapter 23. When you get to Luke chapter 23, we continue our narrative here with Pilate. And I'm building somewhere in Pilate's mind. Okay? So Pilate has been introduced to Jesus. His initial thing is, you're a kook. No, what is truth? Jesus is telling him what it is. Now when you come to chapter 23 of the book of Luke, and you look at verse number 4, the Bible says, then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. Now, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem. Okay, so stay in the narrative. Stay in the understanding. Pilate, minding his own business. Pilate, dishonestly introduced to Jesus. Pilate, a quick conversation where Jesus enlightens him with the truth. You're a kook. Pilate says, what is truth? Now, Pilate just wants to be left alone. He just wants to go back to bed. So he's got these guys here, and they say, listen, this guy's been messing us up all the way from Galilee. Galilee? Oh, that's not my jurisdiction. Galilee would be Herod's jurisdiction. And by the way, Herod happens to be in town. So Pilate thinks, my problem is going away. So Pilate says, go to Herod. He's your jurisdiction. Now, Pilate tries to push off Jesus. And if you were to read the rest of Luke, you will find chapter 5, if you read verses 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 and go on, you will find that Herod sends Jesus back to Pilate. And here again comes the problem. And so Pilate just can't get away from Jesus. Can't this guy just leave me alone? Go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 27. Hold your hand there. Ride with me now. Stay here. Matthew 27, verse number 15. He tried to pass him off to Herod. That didn't work. Herod sends him back. Now, Pilate's got another idea in verse number 15 of Matthew 27. Now, at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. They had then a notable prisoner called, what is his name? Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Come back to Luke chapter 23. You got to see the narrative unfold in Luke chapter 23. So when Herod sent Jesus back to Pilate, Pilate thought he had gotten rid of the problem and he would be excused. Now the problem is back in his lap. So now he has another option. And the other option was that once a year at the feast, the Roman authorities would release one prisoner back to the Jewish people. Now, Pilate knew these Jews had done this out of envy. So he wanted just to be rid of Jesus. So he thought, I'm going to go in here. I'm going to get the worst prisoner we have. Bring up that guy Barabbas. He's a murderer. He's a thief. There's no way these people are going to want Barabbas back. Bring Barabbas up here. And Pilate stands before the people and says, now, I have a responsibility to release somebody. You want this murderer or do you want this kook? Now, you would think they would take the kook. But the Bible says that the Jewish people begin to shout, Barabbas! Barabbas! Read, if you would, in Luke chapter 23, pick up in verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto this man. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. Now go to John chapter 19, you'll see what he does to Jesus. It's pretty brutal. It's pretty aggressive, but I think you can read about it. You should have your hands here. You're just flipping back. John, if you're visiting with us and you're not accustomed to the Word of God, hopefully I'll explain it to you in context. In John chapter 19, after Pilate said, I'm going to just chasten him, verse number 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, beat him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews. They smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, read verse 5 with me, please. Behold, what? The man. All right? So Pilate beats him to a bloody pulp. Pilate scourges him. Pilate's got him to where, of course, these people are going to see that I've punished him for whatever fault it is. This should be an easy decision, the beaten bloody kook or the strong murderer. Look, pick up, if you would, in verse number 6. And when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate then in turn says, take unto him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Let me tell you something, he is the Son of God. Now something happens right now in this story that changes the narrative completely. And you got to understand verse number 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, that Jesus is the Son of God, he was the more what class? Okay, now, hang with me. His first introduction, you're a kook. He goes over here and he tries to tell the nation, the guy is a kook. Leave me alone. I want nothing to do with him. Don't bother me with Jesus. It's kind of what people say today. In the midst of all of this, all of a sudden, Pilate gets pricked in his thoughts as to who Jesus is. And Pilate, for the first time in his life, hears Jesus is the Son of God. No longer now is he a kook. Now he's the Son of God. When Pilate thought he was a kook, what is truth, man? The Bible says when he heard that he was the Son of God, Pilate got scared. He got afraid. He got touched in his conscience. And he got confronted as to who Jesus really is. It's fascinating. And the Bible says that, hold your hand here, but go back to Matthew chapter 27. Don't lose me, we're doing really well. Matthew 27, look if you would at verse number 19. When he, John 16, Lord, help me, I missed a verse here. Matthew 27, 19 to 23, okay. After he's pricked in his conscience, Pilate sits down on the judgment seat. Oh, I know what I missed. John 19, 9. Go back there just a second. Come on. That's the first mistake I've ever made in 10 years of preaching to you. But you got to see. You got to see. John, I didn't go far enough. John 19, 9. Now when Pilate's confronted in his attention and he gets afraid, verse number 9 says, and he went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Now Pilate wants to know more about Jesus now because he's convicted. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Don't you know that I have power to crucify you or power to release you? Pilate's getting aggressive. Jesus answers him in verse number 11, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from where, class? Above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. The Bible says, and from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. Release him? But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not, say his name please, Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in this judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Okay, now watch the pastor because I got to set the stage for you. When Pilate heard that Jesus is the Son of God, it touched him. Maybe you're here today. And you've been touched before that Jesus is the Son of God. Now Pilate is touched in his conscience and he wants more explanation. Who are you? And Jesus didn't answer him any word. And Pilate said, I could kill you or I could let you go. And Jesus said, you can do nothing to me unless God lets it happen. That so penetrated his heart. The Bible says from that moment, Pilate wanted to release Jesus. In Pilate's mind, he knew him to be innocent. In Pilate's conscience, he got touched that Jesus is God. So when Pilate brought Jesus to the Jews had what we call in the scriptures an ace in the hole. That's not in the scripture. I made that up. Here was their ace in the hole. Pilate is Caesar's puppet boy. Everything good and prosperous and financial and about Pilate's life is because of Caesar. And the Jews, Pilate wanting to release Jesus, they whip out that ace in the hole and they say, if you side with him as a king, you've denied Caesar as a king. You cannot be a friend of Jesus and a friend of Caesar. Now Pilate gets caught where many people get caught. Maybe you're out there now. He's pricked in his conscience as to who Jesus is, but he's also caught in his circumstances as to what he would lose. I really believe this man is the Son of God, but I don't want to be a friend. I want to be a friend of Caesar. And Pilate now is weighing the options. Do I want Jesus or do I want Caesar? Do I want to submit to the Son of God or do I want to submit to the king of this world? Where do I find myself? Now Pilate is so perplexed in his mind that he does what every man does. He sits down. Now you got to come back to Matthew 27. Fascinating what happens to him when he's sitting down there. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 19, we get this narrative. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his, say that word, wife. Now women, tune me out 1 second. Men, a lot of times when we're perplexed in our conscience and with problems, and we're sitting down, the last person we want to hear from is our cowards. So here's this man, nailed, dead to rights, caught up in his own mind, sitting down, and his wife comes to him. Watch what she says. And the wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. She knew that Jesus was the Son of God. She knew Pilate is caught in the middle. And she doesn't want Pilate to make some decision against the Son of God. She's warning her husband, you're in a dangerous place. Please do not come against that innocent, just man. Now Pilate does something, and this is our message. When he gets to verse number 20 of chapter 27, but the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, say his name. Verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus? What a question. That is Pilate at his wit's end. That is Pilate convicted in his conscience that Jesus is the Son of God. That is Pilate understanding that there will be consequences if he receives Jesus or if he lets him go. Pilate in the perplexity of his own heart. Pilate with the warning of his wife in his ears and the shout of the people to kill Jesus and to let Barabbas go. And then Pilate asks a question that everybody in this room's got to answer. What do you want me to do with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? Now here's where it gets real personal. The title of my message is The Problem King. Pilate is introduced to Jesus. He did not seek Jesus out. In that introduction, Jesus becomes Pilate's problem. In the course of that interrogation, Pilate comes to the understanding that he's the Son of God. He's convicted by the consequences. And all Pilate wants to do is to get rid of Jesus. He's a problem. And so the question Pilate says, what do you want me to do with the guy? And the answer is, deal with him. Deal with him, Pilate. Every man and every woman must deal with Jesus Christ. Now listen to the preacher. I'll be very tender with you. He is your problem. And there is no escaping that Jesus is your problem. And you must deal with him. Pilate tried to send him to Herod. Pilate tried to manipulate away, and he could not get rid of the responsibility that Pilate had to deal with Jesus, and so do you. Now, there's two choices when it comes to dealing with Jesus. You either receive him as the Son of God, or you reject him. You have that choice, but you will deal with him. Pastor, I don't believe in him. Doesn't matter. No, Pastor, you don't understand. That will never happen to me. Yes, it will. Well, Pastor, why would I have to deal with Jesus? Because he's God. Okay? And the Bible says that Jesus is the judge of all the earth. And whether you reject him on this earth, that's fine. But you will deal with him at the great white throne judgment. Every person, red, yellow, black, or white, has Jesus as your problem. You cannot ignore him. You cannot get rid of him. You cannot do whatever. You must deal with him. Now, you can say, I don't want you. Or you can say, I will take you. But there's no middle ground. You've got to deal with him. Pastor, that sounds so hard. That sounds so forceful. We live in America, man. Don't tell me I got to deal with this. I don't have to deal with anything I don't want to deal with. Yes, you do, because understand the truth. The truth is, all men and women were born sinners. Okay? And the truth is that I'm in danger. And the truth is that God loved me and God loved you. And so God sent his son. That son became a man. That son died for you. He was buried. He resurrected. He gave his life for you. And the father said, I'm well pleased in him. I sent him to take away the sin of the world. I sent him as God. He is God. And now the world will deal with him. You can reject him. You can receive him. But he is God. I don't believe that to be true. Jesus, I don't care what you believe. It's true. He's your problem. And most people don't like to deal with problems. I want to come over here to make my point. As much as he is your problem, he's also the solution to your life. Because, yes, I must deal with him. But I must deal with him because he died for my sin. And once I deal with Jesus and I receive him and he comes into my heart and cleanses me from my sin, he becomes my Savior. He becomes the solution. Yes, he is a problem that all men will face, but he is the solution to all of man's problems. We don't like to be forced to do anything against our will. I understand that. But he's God. And one day, all of us will stand before him. All of us. Every person in this room will give an account to Jesus. Now, you can think he's a cuckoo. You can think that he's not your problem. You can think whatever you want. But the Bible says every man's got to deal with him. So Pilate gets to this position. He's trapped. And finally, he just says, what do I do with the guy? What Pilate should have done was said, I believe you're the Son of God, and I submit to you. Amen? But instead, Pilate said, kill him. Kill him. Now, Pilate had something that you have. He had a conscience. And so the Bible says that Pilate tried to ease his conscience with his decision. So he took this basin of water and he washed his hands in front of the Jews and he wrung his hands and he said, I am free or innocent of the blood of this man. But the truth is, no, he's not. Because Pilate is a sinner just like you and me. And Pilate had as much responsibility for Jesus going to that cross as I did. And so the whole world today, they try to wring their hands and get free from their conscience. I'm not submitting to him. I don't trust. Just give me peace somewhere, anywhere. But the reality is, you've got to deal with Jesus. And by the way, he's awesome. Amen. He's awesome. Pilate died a fool. Pilate went to hell when he was right there was truth. And he did not submit himself. Why would you preach this message, Pastor? I'm after the mindset in our world that just wants to dismiss Jesus as a kook. They want to link his name to cursing. They want to deny him. They want to get rid of his existence. Go ahead. Say it all. But every man will deal with Jesus. He's the Son of God. And I've already dealt with him. I've already bowed myself and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me and be my Savior. He went from being my problem to my solution. And life is great. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's pray.